Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, good to have you on the program again this week. We have lots to talk about, as usual.
Yeah, we've got a great program. We have Tom Kaye. He's with the New Mexico Firearms Industry Association. He's going to be talking about the legislation going through. It's attempting to take away your gun rights. A lot to talk about with the legislative session and everything they're trying to do to us.
Yes, and it's going to cost us money from what I can see, and at a bad time when inflation is already costing us money.
Yeah, so nothing is free for the government. In other words, the government doesn't have money. They have to take money from you. So this idea of paid family leave is one that has been tossed about, and the Democrats have been trying to get it for years. But how in the world are they going to pay for it? Well, it's becoming clear in this session that they are going to tax you more money. So every $1,000 that you get in your paycheck, they're going to take another $5 out, and the employer is going to get stuck with another $4 for every $1,000 that they pay to you. So just imagine how that's going to accumulate. It doesn't sound like a lot, but this state has had surpluses in the billions of dollars, and they're going to come and tax you more in order to pay for this program. That just tells you that Democrats never have enough money in the government. They always want to raise taxes in some way or some fashion to pay for these programs that they put into place. But hang on and watch that, because it looks like that you'll be seeing more money out of your paycheck every month. Right now, the last thing you want to be happening as an employer is to harder for you to run your business. That's what causes companies to leave states. Companies have been leaving California because of the radical policies. They're also leaving New Mexico for the same reason. This is the way you take a state that should be a great revenue state. We should have great jobs across New Mexico, and instead, we have one of the highest unemployments in the entire nation. It's because our government policies drive people out of the state.
Or keep them from coming here. And your communications director, Ash, came up with a great slogan. She didn't mean it as a slogan, but we were talking about what you and I are talking about earlier today, and she says it doesn't have to be this way. You could vote Republican. I think that should be the consistent theme. Every time we talk about one of these issues, it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, I think that's a great phrase. So we were just talking about the Democrats trying to raise taxes on your paycheck, but that's not going to hurt nearly as bad as the 50 to 80 cents a gallon that they're going to add onto the gasoline. Now, when you understand their motivation, that's what really is going to piss people off. The motivation is to force you into buying an electric vehicle. They want the price of gasoline so high that you'll be encouraged to buy an electric vehicle. Now, the price of gas is not the last determining factor of who's going to own an electric vehicle. You've got maintenance is huge. Even the rental fleets are selling these electric cars because they're so expensive to maintain. But then you've got the problem with the battery that runs down and is going to be $15,000 to replace it or more. Then you have the handling of it. It's got to be packaged up and sent back to China. I guess we don't want that copper here. We let our copper be used in these, and then we give it to China and all of these batteries we send to them. So just one after another reasons that the electric vehicles are a bad idea.
Yeah, there's something else to that, too, for the rental car companies. They're getting rid of the electric cars because when you travel, you're very often not familiar with the city. So you get yourself an electric car, and you don't know where you can charge it once you leave the rental lot. The other thing I found out, too, is this a study came out, the guardrails on the highways, you know, those steel rails that are held up with what looks like railroad ties, they aren't designed for the weight of electric cars. They're heavier because of all the batteries they're carrying. A tank of gas is nowhere near as heavy as the batteries. So that's causing some issues. I found out, too, that they go through tires much faster because of the weight. And you have to think, if the guardrails can't support these electric cars, keep them from flying off the highway, going through them, what happens if an electric car hits you?
Yeah, if it runs into your car, always the heavier mass is going to dominate. And so you're driving your normal Chevrolet Malibu around or whatever you've got, and you get hit by one of these electric vehicles at 60 miles an hour. It's going to do major damage to your plastic vehicle just by the weight of the battery. But you know this idea of the tires burning out much faster? The tire companies have done exceptional work over the last 50 years. I can remember when we'd get 20,000, maybe 30,000 miles on a set of tires, and they've gotten them up to where we had a fleet of vehicles when my wife and I ran our company, and you could get 50 to 75,000 miles on a set of tires and, you know, feel good about it. So when that set of tires is costing roughly, I think we paid about $1,000 the last time we got tires for a full set. So you imagine that you only get 1/10 of the miles. Let's say you get 7,000 miles instead of 70,000 miles. Now then, to get the same 70,000 miles, you're going to have to spend around $1,000. You'll have 10 sets of tires if they wear out in 7,000 miles rather than 70. And so the cost to consumers is going to be high for the gasoline, but it's also going to be high for these electric vehicles they're trying to force us into. You know, good policy doesn't require you to force anybody. Good policy facilitates what people already want to do. But this is bad policy, and so they got to force you into it. I remember when I was in Congress, it was probably 2007 or 8, and the Democrats had taken control of the House of Representatives, and they were pushing a bill, and they were really bragging about how they were wanting to increase the vehicle mileage standards. That is, the average vehicle that comes and is sold from Detroit was going to have a lot more miles per gallon. Well, they didn't really have the technology to provide more miles per the gallon. So what they did is increase the price of the pickup trucks by $15,000. And then they turned around and allowed the auto manufacturers to give credits of $5,000 to $10,000 on the cars, the small cars that nobody wanted. As more small cars were bought because of the price incentive, then it made it look like we had suddenly increased the mileage of all the vehicles in the country. It was not true. It was just gaslighting the American public at the expense of the American public. It hardly makes sense in the ranching industry in New Mexico, the agriculture industry, and the oil and gas industry, the mining industry, and the forest industry. It hardly makes sense to drive a Chevy Volt. You need a pickup truck. Even a F-150 won't do it. You need a 3/4 ton or maybe even a 1 ton vehicle. Well, when you make the cost of those go up so much that people can't drive them, that, again, is not good policy.
This all goes to the vilifying of the oil and gas industry by a state that has a $3 billion surplus because of it. Our state legislature is putting forward bills that could devastate not only gun owners, but gun stores in New Mexico. We'll talk to some gentlemen from the New Mexico Firearms Industry Association about that next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. With me on the telephone is Tom Kay from the New Mexico Firearms Industry Association. And Tom, welcome to the program. I understand you've got a friend with you.
Thank you. I certainly do. I've got the association president, Eric Rasmussen, with me.
All right. So we've got some big issues up in Santa Fe. They're really going at it. So what are some of the bills you're seeing right now as we speak? The session is going on. What bills are you seeing that are of the largest concern for citizens and also for our local gun stores?
Well, for the industry and all the gun stores, it would be House Bill 114, which is for the lawsuits against the firearms industry. If that passes, anybody will be able to sue us, and a district attorney or attorney general can bring a suit for someone who goes out and unlawfully or recklessly uses our products, not just firearms, but any of the products we sell. And there's no other industry out there where you can be sued because somebody goes out and uses your product incorrectly. This would destroy all the firearm stores, all the small FFLs within the state, and we wouldn't be able to get insurance.
That's the plan. Can you imagine somebody, and this has happened, where somebody uses a vehicle to plow through a crowd and kill people, and so say it's, I'm just picking one, let's say it's a Kia, that you could sue Kia because some nut drives a car through a crowd of people and then it's their car?
Exactly, and they take this farther. They identify firearms industry members, and that reaches out to the advertising and the distribution systems. So the UPS driver that delivers our goods or the method that we use to advertise, they could be sued as well.
And when this extends out, I mean, it could be something like a holster. It also goes as far as you don't necessarily need to be harmed by it. You can live down in Las Cruces and know about this from somebody that it occurs up in Aztec, and you can pile onto that suit. And even if we prevail, or the industry member prevails, we cannot recoup any court costs. So that way, there's nothing to prevent somebody from filing a frivolous lawsuit, because they're not going to have to pay my attorney fees and my legal fees should they not win. Wow. And then this is also, they've got the 10-round magazine max capacity tied into this, and this is also tied into gun registration, which they said you don't have to give up your arms, but you have to certify them. They changed the term, mm-hmm. but it's still gun registration. The two worst bills, which would drive us out of business, awaiting the court cases and the stays, and just unable to operate a business.
This bill with the gas-operated ban definitely would impact the individual gun owner severely, but it's also going to have a severe impact on the stores, because a lot of what we sell, the gas-operated, we couldn't sell anymore. And then all the handguns, semi-automatic handguns, would still be legal. But if there's not a 10-round magazine for it, we can't sell it if it holds more than 10 rounds.
And the other thing they have attached to that, too, is those magazines would have to be fixed to the handguns, which they have not been able to answer. How is that going to happen?
And yeah, how would you fix it to the handgun and then reload it? That's an interesting
exactly.
concept, yeah.
The other bills that certainly are going to impact everybody is the whichever one turns out to go through, if hopefully they don't, but the 7-day or 14-day waiting period has a lot of its own problems on its own, which is certainly going to impact rural areas. If, let's say, somebody has to drive 100 or 150 miles one way to go to a store or an FFL to pick up a firearm, and then they have to come back again a week or two later to pick it up, they've doubled their mileage. If we ask the Democrats, would it be okay if somebody had to do that to vote and drive, make two trips to vote, I think they would have a little bit of heartburn over that.
So what can New Mexicans who are outraged, maybe hearing about this for the first time, had no idea what's going on in Santa Fe in this legislative session, what can they do to help you stop these crazy things?
They can start off by contacting their individual legislator, their state representative or senator, barrage them with emails. Hey, we do not support this. We ask you vote against it. Give the reasons why. There are several websites that they can go to get the information, and even some of them have got links where you can click and it automatically pulls up your representative and senator and sends the email. They'll have a pre-canned statement to send. Our website is newmexicofia.org. We have all kinds of information posted up on there and links. Another one is the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, and they are nmssa.org. And if somebody wants to get on their mailing list, they send emails out pretty much daily when things happen, and they have got the links on there where you can click. The NRA, we have a great lobbyist up in Santa Fe from the NRA. She is doing a phenomenal job, and that would be nrafrontlines.com. You can get on that mailing list. And finally, the New Mexico Legislature website, you can go on there, look up their legislator. They can look and see what the bills are and read the actual bill. You can look at the committee hearings and see when they're going on, what bills are being heard. And that is nmlegis.gov. If people have time, they can go up to the committee hearings. If they can't make it to the committee hearing, on the legislature website and also on the shooting sports activity or shooting sports association emails, they have links for the Zoom meetings for all those.
And I always recommend when folks contact their legislators, they're very passionate about these issues, I know, but if you call your legislator names, they're going to delete your email. So
exactly.
Be respectful and just ask. There's an election coming up in November, and they want to keep their seats, so just remind them of that, but don't be nasty.
There's one other one that's probably going to certainly rile a few people, and that's they want to raise the age to be able to purchase a firearm to 21.
One more that's not gaining a lot of traction yet is the Senate Joint Resolution 12, and that would allow counties and municipalities to regulate firearms more restrictive than what state law does. That is actually a change to the Constitution, so if it does get approved, it would have to go out to the voters for a final approval to change the Constitution. But that would make it where Albuquerque could ban concealed carry, Santa Fe can ban hollow point ammunition. It has not been heard in any committees yet, but it has been submitted.
Along with the excise tax, that hasn't been heard yet that I'm aware of in committee. They would put an 11% excise tax on all guns and ammo and precursors to building a firearm or reloading ammunition.
I'm talking with Tom Kay from the New Mexico Firearms Industry Association and
Eric Rasmussen.
We started the Firearms Industry Association after the session last year as an effort to pull the industry together and speak with one voice with a lot of representation. Right now we have about 20 members, and The customer base within our membership represents about 64,000 people. So if anybody out there wants to join or any of the other shops, go check out the website and let us know. Be happy to have you.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time today on Inside New Mexico.
Thank you very much.
In just a moment, I'll be talking with Steve Pierce about our state budget on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. I saw our state budget that they passed, $10 billion. When you were in the state house, did you ever think you'd see that?
No, the budget was about $3 billion in the late 90s. And I will tell you that we're not getting three times the quality of government or even three times the access to government. Many of the offices have never opened back up. When they went home for COVID, the government employees just stayed at home. So it just doesn't make sense that it's costing us three times as much. But then even on top of that $10 billion, we've got the $3 billion surplus that oil and gas has driven. And the legislature is trying to do things to shut down the oil and gas industry. I talked to a friend of mine on Sunday. We go to Sunday school together. He is in a high-level position with one of the major companies. And I won't that name because the government is quick to retaliate anytime anybody raises their head. So just know that he mentioned that the number of regulations coming out without legislation, these are just regulations that are spun out by the governor and by her staff, are making it almost impossible to bring in new wells to drill them and to replace the ones that have run out of productive capacity. Plus, all the regulations are establishing a position to where when the major oil companies can't afford to keep running a particular well, they'll generally sell it to smaller operators. Well, the smaller operators can't keep up and pay the lawyers and abide by all the regulations that are out there. They face fines. They face, again, retaliation by the government agencies. And so what happens is if that second or third tier of companies is not around, then the major companies just plug and abandon wells that could be productive for a long period of time. They call those low-producing wells stripper wells. The Russians and the Saudi Arabians have been trying to kill the stripper well industry in America and in New Mexico for decades. And now it looks like this Democrat governor and the Democrat legislature is going to accomplish that for Saudi Arabia and for the Russians. So, again, the long-term impact for New Mexico is going to be devastating because those stripper wells create a lot of revenue. They create a lot of oil and a lot of energy that people use that's refined into gasoline. They put it in their cars and drive. It's used to make energy of other kinds. And so the long-term outlook gets weaker for New Mexico with all of these regulations driving the second and third tier companies out.
Yeah, I have a clip here of President Biden where he's talking about oil and he gets laughed at. Let me play this for you real quick.
Last year, they made $200 billion in the midst of a global energy crisis. I think it's outrageous. Why? They invested too little of that profit to increase domestic production. And when I talk to a couple of them, they say, we're afraid you're going to shut down all the oil wells and all the oil refineries anyway, so why should we invest in them? I said, we're going to need oil for at least another decade. And that's going to exceed and beyond that. We're going to need it.
Doesn't sound like they believed him, Steve.
Yeah, the idea that you should go ahead and put $10 million into a well that's going to take another $3 or $4 million to complete, and then you've got to set up the surface. You got to have tanks on the surface and pipelines for probably another million or two. So you're talking $15 million basically to get a well online. Who would do that for just another 10 years? Then if you would do it for 10 years, maybe you know that you're going to produce a great well, which is never the case. You never know how it's going to end up. Could be a dry hole. Well, what it does is people say, we'll go to where there are less regulations. Right now, they can move 3 miles from Hobbs and be in Texas. Texas does not have the federal lands. When Joe Biden is talking, they're in charge of federal lands. That's about 30% of New Mexico and almost none of Texas. But then the state has about 30% of the land in New Mexico, and the state doesn't have that much over in Texas. And so it's much easier for operators to be just 3 miles east of Hobbs, and they can operate much more effectively and efficiently. Plus, the state wants them. Here, the Democrats in the state legislature hate the oil and gas. Who would invest knowing that they're on a limited time clock for their investments? And that's the reason he got laughed after that comment.
You know, up in northern New Mexico, where we had those terrible fires a few years ago, a lot of people now can't get fire insurance for their homes on their homeowner insurance. Either they can't get it, or if they get it, it's 3 times as expensive as it was. And they're blaming global warming, or climate change, I guess they call it now. But
what about the Forest Service not thinning the forest like they used to?
Yeah, that's the case. When I was in, we continually battled the Forest Service. They kept trying to pawn it off, saying, we have these fires because global warming or climate change, whatever you want to call it. But the truth was that here in New Mexico, they have let the forest just get super crowded with trees. Well, that means that the trees aren't going to get very big girth. Typically, in New Mexico's history, our forests were widely spread trees, about 50 trees per acre. So that'd be one at the front end of your house and then one on the back end of your house, that kind of widely spread. And it was most grass in between. So when these forest fires broke out in history in New Mexico, they were mainly grass fires. And you can tell from the tree rings that it would singe the bark, but it never burned the trees. But when the Forest Service started putting out every fire, and when they allowed the density of trees to crowd up from 50 trees per acre to 2,500 trees per acre, now then the trees were small diameter. They were struggling to get high to the light, just like if you put a plant in your kitchen window, it will try to reach over and get the sunlight. Well, the trees do the same thing, and so they grow tall and spindly. When a fire comes along, it burns really hot. It burns across the top. That those small diameter trees just act like kindling for the entire forest fire. That's what happened in northern New Mexico. When we had the major fire down in, I think it was the Little Bear Fire in Lincoln County, we actually brought a person into my office who had been the top fire investigator in Los Angeles National Forest for decades. For 30 years, he was the investigator. And we brought him in and put him on our staff in order to investigate that fire at Ruidosa. And he confirmed what we were believing, that it was simply mismanagement. Had nothing to do with global warming, had nothing to do with climate change, but instead mismanagement of the forest. And now what you're describing is people who live in the forest, who live in those northern parts of the state, in those counties that have a lot of trees, they're not going to be able to get fire insurance. And now then they have a fire, their entire livelihood, and destroys their main asset in life. That, again, is coming because of bad policies. It does not have to be this way. Republicans would govern differently, but you have to vote differently.
And this leads me to the United Nations Foundation is quietly fueling climate change policy using things like we just talked about, saying that, no, it's climate change that caused those fires to be so bad and affecting policy in states like New Mexico.
Yeah, Senator Greg Baca from Valencia County, he's the top Republican in the Senate in New Mexico, but he was on Fox News Digital talking about the problem. And it looks like that these foreign nations through the United Nations are funding positions in our government. So maybe the taxpayers of New Mexico wouldn't agree for the governor to hire people that simply focus on destroying our energy industry in New Mexico. So they'll bring in money from the UN that is not trackable in New Mexico circles, and they spend the money on staffers who are here doing things that are very contrary to what most New Mexicans want. That's how you get bad government policies. And I think that Senator Baca should be commended for digging this out. So good for our Republican legislators and good for Senator Baca. I tell people that if you want different results, you're going to have to vote differently. Know that it's the Democrat leaders who want to open our southern border, allowing terrorists, criminals, illegal drugs, including fentanyl, to flood our country and kill America. It's Democrats who want to defund the police. It's the Democrat prosecutors who refuse to arrest and jail people who only steal $900. It's Democrats who have declared war on fossil fuel that has led to sky-high gas prices. It's Democrats out-of-control government spending that has led to high inflation. It's that same Democrat out-of-control government spending that has led to the sky-high interest rates. It's Democrats who insist boys and men have the right to participate in girls' and women's sports. And it's Democrats insist that teenage boys and men can use the bathrooms and shower of teenage girls and women. So know that it does not have to be this way. You can vote Republican, you can register Republican, and we can change the course of New Mexico simply by unelecting the people who are there. Many of these bills that are getting through the state legislature would stop in their tracks if even one or two Democrats lost their races because of this. So when you're wondering what can one person do, you can get out and campaign publicly against the Democrat who represents your district. You can elect a Republican. And again, just one or two will send a loud message. A year and a half ago, we were 1,000 votes short of five more seats in the legislature. If we had gotten those seats, and that's 200 votes in five different districts, any district should be able to come up with 200 more votes. But if we had gotten those five extra seats, I will guarantee you none of these things, the tax increases wouldn't be happening. The defeating of the criminal control bills wouldn't be happening. The assault on your Second Amendment wouldn't be happening. So, folks, get active, get out. You can convince 10 people to vote differently. You can convince 10 people to show up who've never voted before. Vote the Democrats out. It does not have to be the way they're making it.
Thank you, Steve. If you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is go to the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at newmexico.gop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. We appreciate the radio stations around New Mexico that broadcast this program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week at this time on Inside New Mexico.